Louise McSharry on 2FM.
There is no denying that all of us would probably like to escape our reality at the moment. And there is a very healthy way to do that, and that is through reading books. I'm now joined by Lawrence Macken, who's going to give us some tips on totally absorbing, take you away escapism reads. Hello, Lawrence. Hello, Lawrence. I am so sorry. I put up the wrong line.
That's okay. Good morning.
Good morning to you. So did you hear this story about Toni Mortimer from E17, having never read, apparently, until the first lockdown in the UK?
I did, absolutely. And I read the sort of first piece and then I immediately tried to read all the interviews because he was such a joy when he was talking about books. I mean, I think he said he read his first book in March and then he's read 70 books since because he got completely absorbed. And, you know, he was talking about the sense of achievement it gave him and, you know, just disappearing into this different world and this kind of wide-eyed wonder he had. And it was just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, because, I mean, the reality is, I think some people think, oh, there are people who read and there are people who don't read. But, you know, if you're someone who doesn't really read, you can start whenever you want. And just because you didn't necessarily grow up reading or maybe you've kind of lost your way a bit, as I definitely have at various times over the years, despite being a voracious reader when I was a kid, you know, technology can kind of sweep you away from it. But there really is nothing that compares to the way that you feel when you're completely absorbed in a book, is there?
There really is. And I think one of the things that I've, as I get older, you know, you want to kind of almost look for that kind of childhood wonder you had a little bit. And I end up going back to a couple of the authors I used to read when I was younger. You know, I think of like Terry Pratchett's Discworld series, which is one of the sort of funniest and smartest book series that there is. You know, they're comic fantasy series that take place in the Discworld, which is kind of like a flat version of Earth in the Middle Ages. And, you know, in every book they say it's balanced on the back of four giant elephants who are standing on a giant turtle and swimming through space. And most of the characters, you know, they're all idiots or cowards. And there's a recurring character who's Death, who rides on the back of a pale horse called Blinky. And the books never kind of go where you expect them to. And they're really smart and really satirical. And what I found is I've started going back and sort of picking up on the ones because there's like 40 of them or something like that. And I started reading the ones that I maybe missed when I was a kid or I didn't quite get the jokes. And that's been really, really enjoyable. And there's also, you know, with audiobooks now, because, you know, you talk about sort of enjoying books and the different ways into them. I read an awful lot on my Kindle, and like nearly everything gets read on my Kindle at this point. But also audiobooks as well, especially when I'm in the car. And one of the great things about the Discworld series is they're all recorded by a guy called Nigel Planer, who does a phenomenal job reading them. And I think that can really affect how much you enjoy a book.
Is there like a TV series or a film or something that you would liken them to, you know, if someone's thinking, oh, maybe that's for me. Like, if you liked this on TV, you might like these Terry Pratchett books.
Yeah, well, there's been quite a few sort of series built around his actual books. And the really recent one is Good Omens, which he actually wrote with Neil Gaiman. And that's, you know, that's a really good depiction of where his world is and where he wants to get into. You know, they're very, very funny. They are a little bit dark. They're very, very sharp. And I think he does that brilliant thing of taking, you know, you'll sort of watch these and recognize bits of our own world that he sort of smuggled into this kind of medieval fantasy world, which is really clever.
Okay. Any other recommendations?
Loads. I mentioned Neil Gaiman there, so may as well jump into him, because I think when you talk about escapism and getting into different worlds, I think Neil Gaiman probably has the edge on so many of his peers. A lot of people know him as well from his TV shows, such as American Gods. But his latest book was actually called Norse Mythology. And in that, he was retelling the classics of the Nordic tradition, you know, so like Loki, Odin and Thor, all of that kind of stuff that anybody who's seen any Avengers films will know. But they're very much told in his own really rich and rather fantastical style. And I think when you're reading that one, you get two birds at one stone, and that, you know, you're getting the creative and colorful and somewhat dark take on the world. It's kind of gothic in a way. But you're also like dipping into one of the great storytelling traditions in our history, which is like super, super enjoyable.
And that's the thing is, isn't it? When you're looking for escapism, you don't want something that's kind of like a trial to read, do you? You want something you can fly through in a way that completely sucks you in.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think, you know, I was thinking about that kind of thing of, you know, pick up the book and you forget you're even reading it. And someone who always comes up when people are talking about that is Lee Child. And he's the kind of person where I think people who read like a handful of books each year, maybe when they're on holiday sitting by the pool, they tend to read Lee Child books. But I've also heard people like David Remnick, who's the editor of The New Yorker. He's always saying how like Lee Child is one of his favorite authors. And Lee Child created this character called Jack Reacher, who, you know, most people might know from the Tom Cruise film, which is pretty bad film, to be perfectly honest.
It's so one of the worst films I have ever seen. It is so bad.
I was trying to hold back, but I'm glad you've gone. I'm glad you've gone full Jack Reacher on the Jack.
And I love Mission Impossible. Like, I'm not against these kind of films, but like, it's very bad.
Mission Impossible series is terrific, but he really seems to miss the boat with Jack Reacher. It's terrible casting, but anyhow, just ignore it and go and get the books, because, like, Reacher, you know, he's this quintessential tough guy. He always knows what to do in a situation. It doesn't like long conversations. He solves most of the situations by killing people. You know, it is very sort of, you will be very familiar with this kind of gruff picture, but he is kind of one of these originals. And they absolutely rip along. You know, he's always uncovering these incredibly intricate plots in an American backwater. But they are very, very entertaining. They might be a bit blokey for some, in fairness, but they absolutely deliver a bang for your book if that's what you're looking for, you know, that kind of propulsive read that just goes and goes and goes.
Well, I see that on your list of recommendations, you have one of my favourite books ever, which is Marion Keyes' Rachel's Holiday, which isn't blokey, but absolutely sucks you in that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Marion Keyes is, like, she's utterly adorable, okay? Like, that's absolutely, like, you know, she's kind of the queen of Twitter, and I just saw on her Instagram, she's actually doing, like, a free course for people who want to, like, learn how to write, a free four-week course that she's going to do on Instagram.
Yeah, I actually mentioned it earlier on the show, and I went so far as to say she is a national treasure.
She is total national treasure, and I think it's lovely that you can actually connect, you know, with authors and hear these kind of authors who write these books, you know, if you're getting into reading at this kind of early stage, so you can see where they're going. But the great thing about her is, you know, all of that, you know, putting all of that to one side, is she deals with these big, big, very, very difficult, heavy themes. You know, there's books about alcoholism and depression and marital strife and addiction and domestic violence. But she does it in a way, you know, you obviously end up empathizing with the characters, but she does it in a very smart way. She handles them very lightly. And you move through them in a really sort of sophisticated but very, very quick way. And I think Rachel Holiday is just an absolutely superb example of that. She's also written have you read the follow-up? Have you read the sequel? I think it's set about 20 years later. It's called The Mystery of Mercy Close.
Yeah, well, she has loads of books about that family, the Walsh sisters. I've read every Marion Keyes book that there is going, because I am a true fan. But Rachel's Holiday was the one that got me into her, actually.
Yeah, and, you know, the great thing about that is you can go full... You know, anybody who picked up this book and didn't like it, I think your heart would have to be made out of stone. But because, you know, as you say, there is a sort of expanding universe that's on me, you can go full sort of Netflix binge on them and spend weeks lost in her world. And I can't think of a better way to spend the next couple of weeks.
And actually, I see you're recommending Liz Nugent's Unraveling Oliver, and she's another one, because you could go from one book to the next and stay in her kind of style of writing, couldn't you?
Totally. I mean, you know, talking about one, we're moving from one smart woman to another. I mean, there's so many... It's really hard to pick out it's really hard to pick out one Irish crime writer to talk about, because there's so many. You know, there's Tana French and Alex Barkley and Jane Casey. But what I love about Liz's books is she's got such a distinctive voice, as you said, and she has a background in television, and that really comes through in the books, because they kind of whip along. They're very punchy. They're very concise. She knows exactly when to deploy the twists and the turns to keep you turning the pages. But her books are actually standalone. So unlike a lot of them, you don't follow this one, you know, usually a detective character going through the books. They're actually their own, like, little universes, but they're so of a piece, and they're very much written in a contemporary style. They're also super, super dark. Liz scares the hell out of me, I have to say. So, you know, she keeps me awake at night turning the pages, but also because of these awful, awful characters that she puts in her book that she wraps up in this kind of veneer of normality. But they're utterly engrossing.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Because you're going into their kind of mind, like Unraveling Oliver in particular, you know, the main character, you are in the mind of a very dark and troubled person. And that is fascinating.
Yeah, I think that's why most of us watch these, you know, TV series on Netflix. We watch these true crime series because we want to sort of try and understand these people and you know, get to grips with these people. And I remember, like, the playwright Simon Stevens said, you know, you write about these dark things because you're trying to deal with them in a fictional way before you have to deal with them in real life. And that's why a lot of us read these, you know, awful, very dark, terrible things, because we want to deal with these horrible things just in case something terrible should ever happen to us, so we're a bit well equipped with it. And Liz certainly knows how to write an extremely dark character who will scare the life out of you.
But, like, I'm sure she's fine, you know.
She's lovely.
I don't think we need to worry about Liz herself.
No, absolutely not. She's an absolute dope.
Okay, what else do you recommend?
I was thinking about sticking with Irish writers at the moment. Lisa McInerney is a fantastic writer, and she has a new book coming out. But the first one in this kind of trilogy is called The Glorious Heresies. It's about 5 years old, and it's set in Cork. It's among this sort of gang of misfits and criminals, some of whom are looking to change their ways and find a little redemption, and some which are trying to claw their way up, actually, in the sort of ladder of their grubby underworlds. And I think, you know, when you read that, it is this kind of crime book, but you're recognizing the world that we're living in now. It's that odd cultural mix, you know, our attitudes towards salvation and shame, and there's a lot of religion in there. And, you know, that very Irish thing of our fairly loose appreciation of law and order. You know, we always think that we can sort of push things a little bit. And, you know, we sort of view the laws as something to be taken under advisement. And she captures that so, so well. And she's about to release the third book in the series. But I think if you're starting out, you know, really do dig into that first one, because it is a little stick of dynamite of a book.
And of course, as you say, then you can Netflix it and move on to the second and soon the third.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. And actually, I was thinking of the, you know, the Netflix thing comes up so much when we're talking about culture. But, you know, The Queen's Gambit, obviously, that is such a huge, you know, that's had such a huge impact on chess. And when I was thinking about that, there's actually a novel that did that for the Chinese version of the game, which is called Go. And this is a book called Shubini, and it's written by a writer called Trevanian, which is a pen name.
Trevanian,
yeah, yeah.
One word. I like it, like Madonna.
Like Madonna, he's got a normal name. He's a very, like, sort of normal English writer, but he took on this pen name and he kept writing these books, and they're all completely different in completely different styles. He's a total genius. But this book is it's about an assassin called Nikolai Hell, and it was a total sensation when it came out in sort of 1979. And he's a John Wick character. There's an Easter egg in the John Wick film where you actually see one of the characters reading this book. For total nerds out there. But he's this kind of, you know, he's Western, but he's subsumed himself into Japanese culture and become this perfect killing machine. And he spends time in prison for a mercy killing of his Japanese master. And then he's recruited by the CIA to sow discord between the Russians and the Chinese. And the book actually opens in the 1950s, or sorry, when he's in his 50s, and he's living in this little castle in the Basque country. And an old friend's niece drags him back to his old life for just one more job. You know, if you think about those purely entertaining books, you know, like, you know, the James Bond or, you know, kind of Jason Bourne kind of things that you want to be entertained by, I can't think of a better one than Shibumi by Trevanian. It absolutely rattles along, and I'm astounded that they haven't made a film out of it yet.
Okay, well, if you're looking for that, it's Trevanian, T-R-E-V-A-N-I-A-N. So one more before I let you go.
One more. Okay, sometimes you have to read a book about people you despise to really feel good about yourself. And here's, you know, I've just the type of book for you. It's called Fleischman is in Trouble, and it's by Taffy Brodasser Ackner. It's about a New York doctor called Toby Fleischman, whose wife vanishes and leaves him stuck with his two children, and, you know, in his very glamorous life. And it's absolutely compulsive. But, you know, the story reveals itself in all these different sort of moneyed, glamorous locations of, like, downtown Manhattan.
Like, I feel like you can never go wrong with rich people in New York.
You totally can't, especially when they go to the Hamptons. It's very Big Little Lies. Toby's an absolute tool. His wife seems like a nightmare, as does nearly everybody else in the book, apart from his friend Libby. You know, a lot of it comes through her thing. But it's really smart, and it's a really good depiction of our attitudes to our people and our relationships and our own narcissism today, and how we sort of disappear and get wrapped up in it. And I absolutely loved it.
And what are you reading at the moment, Lawrence?
Oh, what am I reading at the moment? That is, do you know, because John le Carré died, I mean, he's like my favourite author probably ever. I've been rereading a lot of John le Carré, which I just think he's one of the finest writers ever, and the way he sets up his plots and everything else. So I've just been working my way through that. I've also gone into graphic novels again. I used to read an awful lot of graphic novels, and I've been working my way again through the Alan Moore back catalogue. So if anybody, like, really wants to get into graphic novels, there's Neil Gaiman's Sandman series, which are fantastic, but anything by Alan Moore is just terrific.
Alan Moore. Moore. Okay, yes. Super. All right. Well, Lawrence Macken, thank you so much. Hopefully we've encouraged people to pick up a book today. I hope you have a lovely one, and I'll talk to you soon.
You too. Thank you so much. Louise McSherry on 2FM.